Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Refreshes our soul, refreshes our very life. And I just feel so good about being here tonight. You may be seated in Jesus' name as you worship with Sister Perry while she sings.
Well, as I mentioned, we're at 55 this song, and I'm leaving this court. Y'all have to learn to sing with me, because I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. And I like what you think about practice, because I was going to feel like I was going to be like praise in heaven. I don't want to be wrong either.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You turn the Bible to the book of James, the first chapter. I'd like to get right into preaching of the Word. I have sought God, I guess, most of the day over this service tonight. I am not going to preach a long time tonight. I'll tell you that now.
Praise the Lord.
You know, they always tell me, them old folks can't sit long. you guys took that wrong, man. I didn't mean that like that at all. I slipped out. I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
But nevertheless, I'm not going to preach for just a few minutes tonight. Not anything real heavy, not anything real deep, or anything that'll be hard to understand. It's just a simple message that I'd like to give tonight from James, the first chapter and the 15th verse. James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That is a real hard to understand. It is a real difficult passage of scripture. Very self-explanatory. When lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Time and again, it's been said by people. I've heard it. No doubt you've heard it. And there may have been some of us here tonight who have said it one time or another. But praise God, my name's on the roll. You know, we've all said this. But I wonder at times if we realize what role our name could be on. in America today, there are thousands of people, and I wish I had a number. There are thousands of people who are living in a prison or a place called death row. Death row is probably the most undesired place in all the world, because those guys know that once they get in there, it's very seldom that they'll get out. Very difficult, very hard. Once you get locked into a cell or a death row, your chances of ever getting out of there are very slim. You're headed for one place, and that's the gas chamber, the electric chair, or the firing squad. And these are things that people do not like to think about. But in the Florida prisons tonight, there are over 200 men who are sitting on death row, who are simply waiting for their time to come, for their heads to be shaved and their right legs to be shaved, and they're going to be set in an electric chair with a cap on their head, a band on their wrist, and a band on their ankle, and they're going to be fried with bolts of power that will literally bake their bodies to a chair. You see, that's called death row. That's all it's about. That's all that there is to it. There's not much of a life in it, not much to look forward to in death row, but I wonder if we can realize what the world is today. There are hundreds of thousands of people. In fact, if I could bring out a number tonight, I believe there are 4.9 billion people in the world today who do not have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues and who are not baptized in Jesus' name. This is an estimated figure, but nevertheless, let's estimate close to 5 billion people who are sitting on death row, in lives, in homes, in cars, in bars, in places that they should not be, and they're headed nowhere but to the prime chambers of hell. They don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go. And I wonder if we could realize how many of those could we save before the coming of the Lord.
Right.
How many? Those men on death row, they will do anything. They will bring up any contest. They will try to oppose. They will try to reject. They'll try to do everything just to get back on the witness stand, just to go back to court, just to get off of death row.
Amen.
The people in the world are looking for anything, just everything. Just get me out of this world of sin. Get me out of this world of murder. Get me out of this world of hate. Get me off of death row. They're looking for a last minute point. A last minute point.
That's right.
They're searching for somebody who would give them the key to the prison that they're locked in. Somebody who would give them a key to get out of the prison that they're bound with. Somebody who would give them a last-minute pardon and show them a way out. If I could lead them to Calvary tonight and show them the blood of Jesus Christ, I would say, there's the key. There's your way out. And there's your last-minute pardon. Because the blood of Jesus Christ can wash the sin the man away. It can take a life of filth and sin and nastiness, and it can take one drop of the blood from Jesus to wash all of those sins away.
Amen.
And they'll find that last minute point. We find Peter in Acts the 12th chapter on death row.
Uh-huh.
Herod left his head. Tomorrow morning, his head will be set as well. Something will show he's going to be dead. He'll be hung. Something's going to happen to him. He's finished. He's through. There's no hope.
No.
He doesn't fret. He doesn't fear. Because he's got God. Here he is. He sat there. But Herod made real good precautions, you know. He made sure everything was all right. And put him between two soldiers, you know, handcuffs with the two soldiers, one on each side. And then he put a guard at each gate all the way out, you know. Wanted to make sure that there was no way that Peter could get out. Or Herod, he was just making every precaution because he finally nailed this guy and he wanted to get him. But you see, Herod thought he had everything wrapped up, but God had other plans. And we see that God took the angel to unlock the gate, and he said, "Hey, come on, Peter, let's get out of here. I'm going to give you your last minute pardon. Who knows what was in the next few hours
Peter's life could have been taken from him. The very breath would have ceased in his lungs. The pumping of the blood within his veins would have stopped. The thinking in the brain would have quit. His life would have ceased in the next few hours. But the angel of the Lord came and said, "Peter, now is your last minute pardon. Right now is your chance. Come on, let's get out of here." And I wonder how many people are sleeping in the world who are trying to forget the pain, who are trying to forget the sorrow, who are trying to rest in the alcohol, who are trying to relax in the cigarettes, who are trying to live in the lust of sin, and they have no peace. And yet the angel of the Lord is here tonight. The Spirit of God is here tonight. And he's ready to give everybody a last minute pardon. He's waiting on somebody. He's standing at the door saying, "Come on, come on." The Spirit of God is moving here tonight, waiting on somebody to say, "I want out of this hell. I want out of this prison. I want out of this fear. I want out of this hate. I want out of this envy. I want out of the murder." You want to know what the world is? The world is hate. The world is murder. The world is rape. The world is sin. The world is drunkenness. The world is hangover. The world is hatred. The world is hell. But there's only one way out. It's not climbing in a bottle. It's not smoking a cigarette. It's not shooting in the veins. But that way out is the prize we have to get. That is the last minute pardon. I wonder if we realize that we had 60 seconds to get a hold of God, if we had 60 seconds to get our pardon from sin, what would we do? There are people sitting in this place tonight who could possibly be in our lives claiming to be a prophet of doom. It could be just a few hours, a few days, a few weeks from the end of their destiny, who would find themselves at the end of their road, nowhere to turn, nowhere to go, nothing to do but to go on and end their lives. But I want you to know, just as Peter found that last minute pardon, there is a last minute pardon here tonight, and he's walking up and down the aisle. He's moving in between the dunes, and he's waiting on somebody to take the hold of his hand and make their way to an altar prayer and say, "God, give me that last minute pardon. Let me out of this world. Let me out of this world. Let me out of the rat race. Let me out of the misery that I'm in." It's all there. It's all there. Tonight is somebody's last minute pardon.
Oh, God.
Tonight. We find the next fifth chapter. A couple came and said, "Here. Here is our tithe. Here is our money from the land of your soul." They asked him in verse 8, chapter 5 of the book of Acts, and said, "Hey, are you sure?" And Ananias said, "Are you sure that this is it? I've given you a chance. I've given you a chance. You can tell me that's really not it. You can get out of it. You can escape the power from what happened to your husband. You won't have to be carried out the same way he was. You can escape tonight. You can get out of it now. Is this really what it's all about?" This is it. It was all over. It was all over. She had her chance. She kicked in the teeth and said, "I don't want it. I want my money. I want just a few more dollars. I want just a little bit more fun. I just want a little bit more happiness. I'm positive this is it." But it really wasn't. They had a chance.
Amen.
For the last minute point.
That's right.
But they both died with the keys in reach. With the keys in reach. And yet they wouldn't take them. The door was open, but they wouldn't go through.
My Lord.
The answer was there, but they wouldn't take it. Their escape was there, but they wouldn't take it. Their chance to get out was there, but they wouldn't do it. They were looking for a little bit more fun. They were looking for just a little bit more laughter. They were looking for just a few more laughs. They were looking for just a few more big times. They were looking for just a couple more big nights. If they could have only realized that that was their last minute I believe they would have taken their toll. It is not my idea. It is not my way of trying to come in here and scare people into the altar. But the Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. And if I've got to lay my life upon the altar, and if I've got to pour my soul out tonight, if I've got to do anything to get you through the Holy Ghost, I'll do it because I want to see somebody get a hold of the last minute part here tonight and say, Jesus! In Isaiah 55:7, it says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There are people who come to the house of God and feel there's no forgiveness for me. I've been too bad. I've done too many things wrong. But he said there in Isaiah 55, I will abundantly pardon, and the world will live in the end. Oh, it's a terrible world. It's not a world to be happy about. It's not a world to smile about. It's a world of terror. It's a world of sin and strife. Oh, if I could just tell you some of the stories that have passed through the ears of this man right here as I have listened to people tell me what the world has done to them.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. If we could just realize that the world will not give us what we think it ought to give us. No, the world's not going to give us happiness. The world's not going to give us peace. The world's not going to give us laughter. The world's not going to give us fun. The world's not going to give us a place to go when we need it. The world isn't going to carry it to the end.
Amen.
Your faith is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your repentance is in Jesus Christ. On November 27, 1983, a movie was aired nationwide called The Day After. Some 50 million Americans watched the movie The Day After. They said that that was to be the most frightening, the worst horror movie ever placed on television to be viewed by all who would dare to watch it. They said they had suicide lines ready and hooked up for those masses that would commit suicide, for those hundreds of thousands of people who would attempt to destroy the very lives. It was said to be a very terrible, horrifying movie, but yet when it came right down to it, it did not affect the people of the world. There wasn't any suicide. There wasn't any death. No, the world didn't save them. Why? Because the condition of the world has gotten so bad that nothing fazes them anymore. If there is more than the future of what the world is going to be like the day after the nuclear war, the day after the nuclear war. But I ask you, not what would you do the day after the nuclear war, but what would you do the day after the coming of the Lord? Where would you go? Who would you talk to? Where would you be? I want you to know that there is a last minute pardon, and it's here tonight waiting for you to take, to take. All you got to do is get a hold of it. I wonder if we knew the exact time and date of the coming of the Lord. There have been those men who have tried to tell us when the Lord will come. I cannot. I have no idea. But all I can say is if he should come tomorrow, if he should come next week, if he should come next month, where will I be? Or should I ask, where would you be? Where would you be? In Micah 7:18, it says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Jeremiah 31:34 says, for I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. In Jeremiah 33:8, I will pardon all their iniquity. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sin and their iniquities, and I will remember no more. Time after time after time, God is trying to get the point across. God is trying to let us realize there is a pardon for our sins. sin. If we'll just take it, there is a pardon for our iniquities. There is a way out of this world if we'll just get a hold of it. I remember something my grandmother told me a couple of years ago. We were discussing something, and she said, "Jonathan, if there's any way possible, I would like for you to fix upon something." And I begin to fix upon what she told me. Just a small statement. Not a lot of deep thinking. Not a lot of heavy stuff. But the statement simply was, there are no fire escapes in hell. I didn't think about that. You know, every building you go to, there has to be a fire escape. There has to be a way out. There has to be a way out. But there are no fires in hell. There is no way out. Once you're there. But between here and that place that the Bible says has enlarged its mouth, that place called eternity, that place called hell, there is an escape. There is a way out. There is a pardon. And it may be a last minute pardon for hearts and lives in this service tonight if you would just take it. Take it. What would happen? What would happen if we would leave here tonight with a chance, with the promise of a pardon, with the promise of an escape, and we rejected it and we walked out the door as we came in, and we went back to our home place, we drove the car home, we went through the same neighborhood, we went into our dwelling place, and we went to our kitchen, and there we ended our day's rest on a place called our bed, that we want to sleep for the next few hours and try to rest and recuperate for the next day, and in the next few hours you wake up and you find the world is a different world, the place you live in a different place. The car you drive is a different car. The neighborhood you live in is a different neighborhood. The church you went to tonight is a different church. It's not the quiet, humdrum church that all go in may see right now. But if the Lord should come tonight, tomorrow night would be the first most packed out service that we've had here in years. People would be reaching, screaming, and yelling, saying, "Give me back to the apostolic church." But it's going to come a day when there will be no more last minute pardons. It's going to be the end. It's going to be over. But you have a chance here tonight.
Amen.
As we stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. No music for the next few minutes as I continue to talk to you. God is waiting on you tonight. He's ready. I see a vision. I see it now as the putting spells on line, row after row after row. In those prison cells are people just like yourself. The thing along the door, the iron bars over the window, nowhere to keep. And at the end of that hall, there's a place called this. There could be that electric chair that they find in the prison. There could be the gas chamber. There could be the firing squad. Or there could be hell. You get out of that prison one of these days, you'll have to go one way or the other. You can step out of that cell and think you're on your way out. But find yourself in a place called hell. Because you can step out of that prison tonight and find your way to an altar of prayer and find your way to a place called hell. But it's up to you to make the choice. It's up to you to make the choice. No doubt you would look at me and say, "Preacher, why have you acted so foolishly tonight? Why have you given up yourself? Why are you standing there screaming and yelling about a place called hell?" My answer is found in James 5:20. "He that converteth the sinner from error in his way shall save a soul from death." Then when love hath conceived,
It bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth sin. Where will your life be? At the end of your sin. At the end of your life. At the end of your life. Where will you be? Every head is bowed and every eye closed. This altar's never been more open. Who will be the first to step out of the eye? Say, God, I'll come to you today.